My the message. Favorite
part's the lyricism, especially in the bridge. Where
the bridge,
when that hit, I was like, oh my god, this is so good. And
Rhea said Lainey might like this.
And Lainey said die.
I did.
I never expected him to make an album like this, at least like
having like an 80s vibe.
Hey guys, this is Rhea
and Lainey, and welcome back to another episode of Music Mayhem.
This episode, Lainey and I will be covering Conan Gray's new album called Found Heaven. So for some background information, Found Heaven is Conan Gray's third studio album released April 5th, 2024. Gray began teasing this new era with the lead single Neverending Song, which was released May 19th, 2023, and showed that this new music would be heavily inspired by the synth pop style of the 80s. And let me tell you, like, the 80s feel throughout this album is, like, very consistent and all the way through and done, in my opinion, really well.
I love the new style that he's trying to go for. It's, like, something very out of his comfort zone, and you can definitely tell from his recent songs and his recent albums.
Especially because, like, his first two albums were, like, so similar.
Yeah.
This was, like, definitely a new direction.
Like, not, like, a calm aspect. But,
it was kind of like the almost indie pop style.
Exactly. And then now he's, like, switching his style to almost, like, pop and just, like, 80s vibes. Like, I feel like I'm in Stranger Things when I listen to this album.
Yeah,
almost.
You said that a lot throughout
I know,
notes.
I did. I just kept thinking, I'm, like, I feel like 11 when I'm just listening to this and, like, the lights are blinking in my room.
Okay, so we're gonna move on to a quick track by track and our thoughts on what each song was like. So track one of this album is called Found Heaven. It's the title track. And I honestly thought it was like a great start to the album. I love the production, especially like the bass line. The bass lines throughout the album are probably like some of my favorite parts of the production. And then I thought it was like a good intro for the themes of heartbreak and like moving on, and also the sonic landscape that it provides. So
that's like what I said. It was like, it represents him like growing up and moving on from something that happened in his past. Hence the Found Heaven, like him growing up, and like the musical instruments he's using is showing him growing up, moving on to be a different person, which I really respect. And I think it's, I think it was a great, like, starting track.
And then I was also watching, I think it was the Zach Sang interview he did a few weeks before the album came out, where he was like, Found Heaven's a bit of a double entendre in the sense that, like, finding heaven, you're like, okay, I'm, like, doing better, this is great. But, like, also, whenever you say someone's found heaven, they've died.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, probably killing that.
It's like he's killing off, like, that part of himself, like you recently just said.
Track two, Neverending Song, it was also the lead single for the album. I mean, I thought it was nice. It was, like, good to have as a lead single. Very catchy. It wasn't, like, my favorite off the album, probably.
It was very repetitive in a way.
I know. It was
the vibes it gave was, like, good. Like, it gave good vibes, you know, 80s, happy, but I don't know. It was not my favorite.
Not my favorite, just because I thought, like, the other songs were better.
I mean, all of these songs were good, but yeah, they were just, all like, good. Some it's that are outstanding.
Like, some definitely outranked others.
Fainted Love.
Track three. I liked it.
It sounded a lot like the others, though, like, previously. Like, it was a mix of Found Heaven and Neverending, like, song.
Yeah. No, I think, like, definitely the first part of the album was a bit repetitive.
Yeah.
But, like, it was a fun vibe.
No, like, that's the thing. Like, I think he wants you to, like, feel that fun vibe. And then he goes straight to Ally Rose.
Yeah. But before Ally Rose, there's Lonely Dancer.
That, too.
Again, some parts I thought were, like, a bit repetitive. I liked it a lot more than Neverending Song. I don't know
why. I think I liked it more than both Found Heaven and Neverending Song.
Mm, okay. Yeah, but, like, all the tracks up until this point, in my opinion, were, like, too similar to, like, outrank one another. So if you're like listening to the album front to back, then it's like, okay, this sounds the same. But if I were like listening to this song on its own, then I'd be like, yeah, this is like, this is great.
It's just like when they're compared, it's almost like a letdown, like the first like three songs.
Okay, next, Ally Rose. It's your favorite song.
Is it your favorite song too?
It's like definitely up there. It's definitely my favorite single.
I don't know. It was just, like, beautiful. Like, it creates a whole different vibe from, like, what the beginning, like of the album sounded like. It was just like the message in the singing, his high notes, like just the way that and he was like going from high to low, like alto, soprano. It was just like so pretty and so beautiful.
My the message. Favorite parts, the lyricism, especially in the bridge. Where
the bridge,
the whole time he's like talking about how essentially this relationship kind of showed him like what loving somebody's like, which
like there's highs and lows to loving someone.
There's like highs and lows. And then the bridge is like, this is like the end of the relationship. And I didn't think, like in the past, I thought if a relationship would end, it would be because of me. But like it wasn't. And it just sucks. It's he's just giving good.
The reality of loving.
Yeah, people. And then, like, having to let go, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, found heaven. It is him letting go of his previous self.
Yeah,
and like, seeing Ellie Rose.
I know. This also, to me, felt like a turning point in the album. First three, four songs, I was being like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is good. This sounds similar. And then this was there. And then, like,
and
I think after this, like, every other song, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like.
Exactly. Like.
This is hitting.
It was perfect.
Yeah. And I also like the 80s. Ballad thing it's got going on. It's
reminded me of Queen. Like all of these songs like just remind me of Queen, and I feel like I'm being transformed almost.
So good, guys.
Oh wait, Ally Rose is a track 5.
Huh.
That only if it was a track 7, bro.
Dude. Track 6, The Final Fight. I liked it. It like this was another ballady type thing. Mm-hmm.
Just like, the high notes that like, he's definitely growing into his voice, you can tell with this album, because he's not as scared to experiment with his voice and, like, experiment with all these different types of notes and instruments like he did in The Final Fight.
Yeah. In my notes, I wrote that it hurts me, but in a good way.
That's me with majority of these songs.
That's me with, like, most of his music, honestly. Next track, Miss You. I really liked the bass and synths, like, throughout the album. I mentioned that they were so good. I said that I like that you get to hear his vocal range a lot more opposed to his previous projects, because previously, like, he did have, like, that higher voice and, like, used.
But you could tell that he was scared to use it but at his full advantage.
Yeah, and, like, his voice has gotten a lot stronger, and, like, he's belting a lot more notes, but you also
hear his low range, too. I feel like both him and Olivia have been working together with that, because, you like, from Guts...
Yeah,
no, she was definitely experimenting with her voice in that too.
So good.
But I said that it's giving more of like a poppy, like definitely like you can tell like 80s.
Yeah.
Like this was like prime 80s, you can tell.
Yeah.
Very unique instruments and vocals. Like you said, he's experimenting with his voice. He's trying to, I don't know, express himself in that way.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorites personally.
Me too. Next is Bourgeoisie's.
The birds work for the bourgeoisie. Sorry. Excuse me.
It's Lainey and her conspiracy theories.
It is. The birds work for the bourgeoisie.
Okay, buddy. I love his voice in the beginning of this, and I love the production too. I thought it was like a fun vibe and like a fun track to have. Yeah. I like that he's like making fun of the rich, but is also like, I want to be rich. Knowing stuff about him like growing up and not having the best circumstances is like
to me it was giving almost Monday vibes. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No, I haven't.
They're a smaller band, but it's like happy, bubbly, beachy type of music, and it's just like combined with the 80s that he's trying to bring out, it like works perfectly. And I love how creative he is being like with this, like he isn't scared to use like different instruments,
and it was like nice to have a bit of a more
like fun
vibe, especially after like the last few tracks. It's a nice way to like mix it up. I love a sad song like as much as anybody else, but they're like, it's nice to have a bit of a shift. Yeah. Next we've got Forever With Me. It's another ballad, and this is like more of a piano ballad type of sad thing going on. There's also a key change in the song, which when that hit, I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And it's like more of a bittersweet feeling of, oh, this love didn't work out, but
he like, learned from it.
Learned almost. From it. And like, he appreciates
like you're forever with me.
In quotes, I wrote one of the lines of, after all this time, I would wonder why you're still with me, at least in my memories. And I was like, oh, God.
Like, crying. Personal experience. I said, I ain't sorry, but you're forever with me. Like, bro.
Dude.
Hits to home.
It's fine, because we get a bit more upbeat again with Eye of the Night. And
It's giving Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, like, the whole time. But the intro to the song, like, the production in the intro, and then, like, when his voice kicks in. It, like I it was had like, so much fun
I had
with
the
it.
Same, like, mental reaction when I first listened to music for a sushi restaurant.
Yeah.
With Harry Styles.
And then, like, there's also another key change, which it's well done in the song, but it's just, like, back-to-back songs. I was like, okay.
Well, next, Boys and Girls.
Yeah.
Rhea said, Lainey might like this.
And Lainey said, die.
I did. It's kind of repetitive.
Yeah, I said that too.
I personally relate. It's giving 2015 vibes, though. Like, you know, Chainsmokers?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I got from the song.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was, like, kind of repetitive, like, in the production. But, like, lyrically, I thought it was, like, kind of catchy. So, like, not my favorite, but it was fun. And then Killing Me, I love it lyrically and melodically. Just his voice throughout it and everything. I wrote that it's, like, a masterclass in Conan's storytelling abilities and being able to, like, rap it in a catchy synth pop production with the lyrics, like, telling you what the story is and then the chorus, like, telling you the emotional impact it had.
Yeah. It was, like, it had a great message to it. Like, don't get me wrong, the storyline of it was great. I'm just not sure if I like the beat and how he transformed it into the song.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
But it had a great message.
Okay. And then final track is Winner, which is, like, a song about his childhood and, like, his experience with that. Which I always love songs about those. Lyrically and melodically, it's, like, a break from the stuff beforehand where it's, like, a slower ballad type of deal. Mm-hmm. And I personally like it when final tracks are slower or at least start slower and become more grand, which is what this does.
It's making me, like, remember that I'm actually growing up and I'm not going to be a teenager forever.
Same.
And I've kind of noticed, like, the pattern, like, Olivia, he's doing it. Sabrina Carpenter is, like, they're all switching from, you know, like, they had their childhood at Disney. And, like, not Disney, but, like, on camera.
Yeah.
And so, like, them, like, actually growing up and, like, wanting to change, people are almost hating in, like, that sort of aspect because they've always thought of them as, like, the Disney stars, somebody that they can look up to for their children. But now that they're not,
I am an actual human being, an adult. That's like,
and they're all getting tired of it. So I think him ending with this definitely brought his message out.
Overall thoughts, I thought it was like a good album. Some tracks were better than others, especially like in the beginning there where it was kind of repetitive. But like Ali Rose and pretty much all the tracks afterwards I thought were great. I liked the sonic cohesion it had throughout the album and like the emotional journey. It all just made sense, and some parts like fell into the trap where they were like too similar back to back. But overall, I thought it was like a nice change of pace from his previous work and showed his range as an artist.
Kind of backing off of you, I said that it was like him like expressing himself more freely, like he isn't scared to actually show what he is trying to be as an artist. And him doing all this was like, I never expected him to make an album like this, at least like having like an 80s vibe. But personally, I think Ali Rose was my favorite because of the build up into the bridge. Yeah. It was just beautiful and I loved it so much.
Yeah, my favorite was probably like either Ali Rose or like, yeah, either Ali Rose or Winner.
Yeah.
And then Bourgeoisie's was just fun.
It's just fun.
Like, I was just having fun throughout that whole song.
Well, I think that's all we have for you guys today.
Once again, I'm Rhea.
I'm Lainey.
Signing off.